This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here we go. 9.6 to go in the game. Altamont down by three. Indians to inbound the ball. Ball comes in. Here's Wolf with it with seven. Wolf to Armstrong with six. Back to Wolf. Wolf with three. Looks at the clock. Armstrong's going to have to force the three-pointer. It's up. It is good. I'll be darned. They hit it, and they tied it up, and into overtime we go. He forced the shot, and he hit it. Here we go in overtime as the time winds down. Here's Caravello. A skip pass into the corner to Wolf. Out to Armstrong with three. Armstrong from the free throw line. Shot blocked. That's it. Skids win it on a blocked shot.
Fry looking for a screener. Now off to Johnson with 8 seconds to go. To Lawson, who'll drive. Stop at the elbow. He'll fire. And he'll hit. Lawson with the shot. Quickly, the shell's going down with 1.5 seconds to go. The shot's up and good. Blake Vandiver. Blake Vandiver had hit the shot. However, the referee is saying that the Python first had called for the timeout after the shot was made. The referees are discussing it right now. It would appear as though the three-point shot should count for the Roxana Shells, which will give them the victory.
The madness has arrived.
Oh, yes. Oh, man.
Wow. Yes. March is tomorrow, but last night was a heck of a night of basketball across the state.
We have fun this week every year because you think, ah, well, you know, these teams, if they go by the seeds, you know, we're going to have a couple of blowout games and it's not going to be close. And, of course, it's close. And then we have overtime to the two out of the three games we broadcast last night.
So wait a minute. March is tomorrow. With all the snow, I thought December was here. I'm about ready to put my Christmas decorations back up.
You'll be in Florida soon enough.
You won't know what snow is anymore.
You'll be mowing grass. 50
AstroTurf.
AstroTurf.
Not unless I rent an apartment.
Poor Southwestern.
Yeah.
2 years in a row.
Man.
Girls last year, boys this year. What a game that was last night. And I guess a bit of a odd finish, if you want to put it that way. But knowing who was on the game, I feel better.
Confident?
Yeah, I feel confident. Carl Ray? Better knowing that Carl Ray was on the scene. Yeah. He's a good official.
Yeah, he is. Good official. So, you know, games, there's no script. Mm-hmm. And crazy things happen. That's why we love doing these ball games. That's why people come out and they pack the gymnasiums on a final Friday night of February when it's boys' regional tournament night because crazy things happen.
And that's about the dream, though, of hitting a mid-court shot as time expires to win a regional. I mean, that's about as good as it gets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And last night in my game at Stu Strauss, a sophomore kid named Ryan Armstrong, he had four threes in the third quarter to power Altamont, and he finished the night with 37 points. You know, he had Reed Detmers in his face to hit the tying bucket in overtime at the end of regulation, rather, to force overtime, and he scored a few more points in the overtime period. Incredible performance by the sophomore from Altamont, but, you know, it's a team game.
It's a team game. We saw an incredible performance from Dylan Miller last night in the first game. He poured in 27, kept the toppers right there. But in the end, the balance and the power of Greenville was just too much as they made the plays down the stretch, and they're rolling into the sectional at Wood River. And
very dangerous sectional.
Yeah. And by the way, we've had some calls this morning, and due to the time constraints last night, we didn't get to all of our interviews that we normally get to on regional tournament night. They're all part of the podcast. The podcasts are up on the website, WSMIRadio.com. They're up on the website right now, and all the podcasts from games last night. If we did interviews, we've got the interviews there. I know we had some calls from some Nokomis people. Ashley Snyder, I talked to her at halftime. That interview is included in it. So
it's why Al Gore invented the internet.
That's
situations
right.
Situations just like this. Just like this. So you can find it all WSMIRadio.com.
So he's still making money on that, right?
Oh, of course. Why not? Why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he be?
It's all about that lockbox.
I don't know.
Joining us in studio this morning, we've got Kyle Hirschelman from the Journal News in Hillsboro and Hall of Famer Louis Lang, as he will be.
Yeah. He's already been.
Already been.
He has been inducted into the Illinois Coaches Association Softball Umpire Hall of Fame. Yes. Good morning, Louis. Pull that microphone over there, buddy.
Good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you here this morning, buddy.
Thank you very much.
We weren't really sure if you were going to be here with us this week or next week, but as it turned out, the weather forced plans that we were allowed to get you in here this week. And by the way, congratulations on your induction into the Hall of Fame.
So thank you very much.
Only four umpires get put into the Hall of Fame every year, and Louis was one of them. And 37 years of service to the game of softball. How did you get started doing this? Was this in high school or something, Louis?
Well, my dad was in charge of the baseball league for the Marion Youth Baseball and Softball League, and I started umpiring probably about 13, 14 years old. Dad was in a bind one night, and he said, son, guess what you're doing tonight? So out on the field I went and scared to death. Coach got in my face the first night, and I thought, man, Dad, what'd you put me in this situation for? But, I've been umpiring 37 years. I started at age two. So,
the youngest umpire to go into the Hall of Fame, by the way.
But in all seriousness, I give God the glory that I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. As I wrote in my so-called acceptance speech that Greg Easter asked me to do, when I was first called, about this induction, I was in complete awe. I thought, gee, many Christmas, I know there's other better umpires than me, et cetera. But the first thought that came to my mind was to give God the glory. He's number one in my life, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Mm-hmm. And, if he didn't give me the health, the patience, the ability, the understanding, the knowledge of the rules, et cetera, I couldn't put up with some of the stuff I put up with.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny to say that because you say 13, 14 years old, first game, coach is in your face. I remember that, like, as a kid, doing, like, the summer league games, being that age. You got, like, grown men out there screaming right in your face because you might have missed the bang, bang call at first base. It's one of the reasons I wanted to stop umpiring as soon as possible. So I guess you developed the mentality of the ability to take the abuse at an early age.
You do. And, you do have to have patience and understanding. You know that some coaches, it's a spur of the moment type thing that some coaches do. And it's been a great experience. Some of the camaraderie that I've had, with other coaches, fans, players, you guys, for example, here at WSMI, I probably wouldn't have got to know you guys like I do. And the family and friends that support me, I mean, it's just awesome.
One of the things, and by the way, we'll be talking regional basketball tournament stuff here a little bit later on, but one of the things about umpiring is the fact you can't be afraid to make a mistake, because you're human, you're going to make a mistake somewhere along the line, but baseball players and softball players make mistakes as well.
Well, sometimes as an umpire and a referee, sometimes you'd like to stop the game and say, coach, why don't you put in number 43 instead of putting in number 45? Coach, you need to call a timeout on the basketball court. But, of course, you can't do that. Yeah. But, it is a
great
time.
Well, you could go, coach, you looking for a timeout now? Huh?
Well, sometimes, I've gotten the habit where sometimes if they got like a 6-0 run, you're looking at the coach anticipating a timeout.
Yeah.
And you think, you crazy guy, why don't you call that timeout? You're needing one. Stop the bleeding now. But I do have to give a compliment to my wife, who's supported me substantially over the past 29 plus years since our marriage, and my two daughters, they're always there for me, and my son-in-law. And as I said, and as they said at the induction ceremony on Sunday, in our wedding vows 29 years ago, I put in fact, I'll just read what I had here.
I'm glad you brought that, because I was going to ask you about that, Louis.
I married the former Teresa White of Coffeen, and prior to our marriage in October of 1985, I politely informed her that officiating was going to be in our wedding vows. I am honored to say that after 29 plus years, we are yet married, and that I am still calling balls, strikes, and outs, along with running up and down the playing field and court. So she has been a very good supporter of me. Some days I work midnight shift at the prison, and I'm coming in the door at 7, she's going out. When she's home at coming in at 4:30, I'm going out to referee or umpire or whatever. So I tell her that we stay married basically because we don't see each other very often. But, we do have a great marriage and got two great kids, and, and I appreciate it.
For people who don't know much about the ICA, the Illinois Coaches Association, they're involved in softball, and they also, do some of the all-tournament teams and sponsor other sports like soccer and golf and have all-star matches for those particular sports. So they're involved heavily with things that go on in the state of Illinois. And they had a very nice contingent, about 100 people, I think, at the banquet the last Sunday. So
I know Greg said around 135 people were there, and it was a very nice sit-down meal. The food was great. The the people that were there were fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, I got to see some coaches and umpires that I hadn't seen in a few years. And, Terry, I want to thank you for making the trip up there.
Oh, no problem, no problem.
It was a privilege to have you there.
It was my honor. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's just the people you get to hobnob with and had a chance to talk a little bit at length with the young lady from Carrollton, Struble. And she's not related to Fran Struble. Gets that question all the time, but is the coach at Carrollton, and Carrollton has a terrific program going. So, yeah, meet a lot of nice people.
You do, yes, you do.
And of course, they're all a week away from getting involved in softball practice and going full bore. So,
well, I'm actually enjoying this time right now. This is my 3 weeks off between basketball season and baseball and softball. My first college softball game is scheduled for March 11th. But I don't believe we'll be on the playing field at that time. But I think high school baseball and softball can actually start this coming Monday with practices.
I think they can start practicing officially.
Right.
Although, you can do a lot of indoor work on your own during the winter season. But, yeah, officially I think practice starts on Monday. And their first game is, the 16th, I think? It starts the week of the 16th.
Usually, so. Yeah.
It's going to have to do a lot of warming up and a lot of drying out.
I don't know if they'll get that in.
It'll happen eventually.
Eventually. And then Tim's going to want to get in the field.
It'll be hot and dry before we know it.
That's right.
Hot and dry.
Farmer Tim will be saying, we need a rain.
That's always need a rain, Pete. Always need a rain.
That's right.
Look, as an umpire, you know, your comfort zone, when you're giving that speech, did you have someone, standing behind just, hurling insults and telling people how awful you are, just so you could be in the zone you're giving that speech?
Well, if I would have thought of that, I'd ask you to come up with
it. I could have done it. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Louie Lang in here. Louie, you're going to be home for 3 weeks. Was your wife asking, are you really going to be home for 3 weeks?
Well, I really can't say on the air what she did
say.
Oh,
okay.
No, in all honesty, we have a great relationship. And, it's kind of nice to be home for a while instead of driving in some of the weather conditions and then some of the fans that voice their opinion after they're paying their $4 to get in at you and stuff like that. But, in all honesty, I mean, my umpiring and officiating career has been something that I'll carry on with me for the rest of my life.
Sure.
Some of the people I've met, you just can't put those values.
And you've bailed out a ton of people, athletic directors over the years, Louie, when people have called and canceled, and you've been able to step up and fill the slots. And I know a lot of the ADs really appreciate that.
Well, Steve Woolley from Piasol called me the Hillsboro Piasol game this past year. He calls me at 2:30-ish on that night of the game, saying that he had called the crew, finding out who the third man was going to be, and they said, we're not going to be at Piasol tonight. So here it is at 2:30 on that, I think it was a Thursday night game,
yeah.
And so I got on the bandwagon and sent out some emails and made some phone calls, and lo and behold, by an hour later, Steve and I had come up with a three-man crew, and the game went on.
Yeah. We actually had it on the radio that night.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. That, and people don't know that behind the scenes, that sort of stuff goes on a lot. And when you have somebody you can call right off the bat and say, hey, can you help me out? And you're able to do so. ADs appreciate that.
Fans in the stands probably never knew that's what happened.
Never.
No. Yeah, they had no idea. Yeah.
Louie's wife is a saint, though. She has helped me out for over the years doing PA work for the
Lord
girls.
Lord knows you needed to help, Toby.
What's up with you?
She has helped me out tremendously, and then her daughter gets thrown into the mix, and then I lost control.
Hall of Famer Louie Lang in our WSMI studio this morning. Also, Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News in studio this morning. And it's Kyle's, we'll call it his anniversary. Shall we call it your anniversary?
Well, today is, the day that I got married. So,
yes.
Like I said, second time I've been on the show. The first time was 6 years ago, before the wedding.
Yes, I remember that day.
It helped get rid of some of the jitters. So.
But the fact you've got another anniversary after that.
It's pretty
impressive.
Speaks
to the quality of the woman.
She's an amazing person. They're going off to see Frozen on Ice, which is slightly redundant, but much safer than Frozen on Fire.
No, Kyle, it is redundant.
Yes.
You got to go to Vegas to see Frozen on Fire.
Frozen on Fire would also be entertaining.
Let it go, Kyle. Let it go.
So, Kyle, you had a rare Friday night regional championship night off last night for obvious reasons, but you've obviously been involved in the scene throughout the year. No surprise to see Nokomis the last area team standing.
No, that's why whenever people were asking me in the office, and it's like, yeah, do you think you have anybody win a regional? I was like, It's like, well, Nokomis, and then, you know, you never know how else it shakes out. And the Redskins have really turned it on over the last half of the season. You look at Andrew Herbstreit and Reed Detmers, and they don't play like sophomores. You look at Braden Sable and Hendricks Barnes, and they don't play like freshmen. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the big guy underneath. So
I think a lot – well, it's easy for me. Like, I watched Nokomis play. You know, you're so used to seeing the Skins do what they do. But they're starting four underclassmen this year, and then just the domination of Chaucey on the inside. It's going to take a heck of a 1A team to slow him down.
You know, the thing about Chaucey, he's just so big and so strong. You know, he'll have three guys hanging on him. He'll spin around, and one of these guys go flying off into the mats at the end of the floor. You know, he's just so big, and he's got so much strength in him.
And he's got what impresses me with him is his touch. I mean, he's got such soft hands and such a agility around the basket. Marcus he's going to be I think he'll be a good college player too. I know he's got some looks at some smaller schools too.
And that's the point I was going to make, Kyle. Though, you see big guys like him around, you know, quite frequently, but they're clanking them off the backboard. He's got that soft touch. There's a reason he scores 30 a game, because once he gets his position, it's lights out.
Yeah, and you look at a good example, or you know, a good kind of comparison is with Jacob Lawrence from Civic Memorial, who we've seen a few times in the Litchfield tournament. Another big guy. He's got a little bit more shooting range from outside the arc than Marcus does. I think Marcus has hit 1-3 against Lincolnwood off balance at halftime, or for it might have been the first quarter, but. Words I never thought I would say before: Marcus Chaucey for three.
Right,
but
that's on a T-shirt, by the way.
Yeah,
well, I saw him drop 40. I think he made one jump shot.
Yeah, he's has the ability to find the basket. Well, and you know, whenever he was approaching 1,000 points, about 5 games left in the season, I was like, well, he's going to have to score 16, 17. That could be close. And the next game, he goes out and drops like 38 or 40. So, I mean, you know, that brings your average quite down quite a bit. Yeah. So,
you know, sometimes a coach will have a real distinct advantage, and somehow over the course of the game, you wind up getting away from it for a stretch, and it winds up getting you in trouble. Steve Kimbrough doesn't allow that to happen. If you're not stopping the big fella, we're not going to stop feeding him.
Right, right.
No, he knows what works. Mm-hmm. And goes at it.
Well, and you know, once the ball goes into the Marcus, of course the defense, you know, collapses around him. So somebody else has got to be open. So there are always options for Nokomis if Marcus can't make the turn usually with his back to the basket, but more often than not, he'll just spin around, put the darn thing in.
And they always get better throughout the year, it seems, every season.
Litchfield tournament time.
Maybe more this year than other years just because of the youth.
They're what, 18-11 now, 19-11? They started out 0-8.
Right.
They're on a 19-3 stretch
vintage
right now.
And of that 0-8, Kyle, you would know probably better than any of us, Terry might know. The 0-8, 0-1A schools, I would imagine.
No 1A schools.
No. Well, I think their first win was against Gillespie, which at the time wasn't, you know, Gillespie wasn't as playing as well as they were like during the stretch of the middle of the season. But they were still, a very good team. And, you know, like I said, Nokomis, I think, picked up that win and it just kind of started rolling and rolling from there. And like I said, after the holiday break, they always seemed to really turn it on.
Yeah, that Litchfield tournament, in the last few years, they've kind of zeroed in at that point to start refining their game and putting together a momentous run.
So. Yeah, had a good win over a Metro Eastern team.
That was
a tough squad. So,
they're off to Effingham, St. Anthony. It'll be live Tuesday.
Live Tuesday, 7 o'clock tip, and we'll have it on FM 106, and we'll stream it online. Apparently, we had problems with the stream last night. I don't know.
It's Al Gore's fault, I'm telling you.
It's Al Gore's fault, I'm telling you. It is. It's
science.
There's a problem.
Science.
You know,
spoiled us again.
But we do have the podcast up. The podcast do have some of the podcasts have the interviews with them, with the kids and coaches. So you are there to enjoy them at your leisure. WSMIRadio.com. All the podcasts went up this morning. So
what a night of basketball it was.
Oh, it was a great
night
of basketball.
State, what, T-Town won in double overtime?
Yeah, T-Town. Dietrich, which was undefeated, lost last night. So There were a few upsets around the area as well.
And of course, the girls' state tournament was yesterday, and boy, that 1A tournament, those were some good semifinals.
That's
a heck of a title game.
Level of competition this year is better this year at the state tournament than it has been the last couple of years, perhaps, for 1A and 2A.
Well, you look at Calhoun and Central A&M. I mean, you're talking about two clubs. I think Calhoun's on like a 27 or 28 game winning streak.
Yeah.
Central A&M, I think they got one loss on the year. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a big-time state champion crowned later on today at Bloomington.
Yeah, that's about a 2 o'clock game, I believe, somewhere in that vicinity. And the thing about Central A&M, they beat Nokomis in the regional championship at their place. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, they beat the number one ranked team in the state, Prophetstown, who had been number one most of the season in the girls' bowl.
And got second in 2A last year.
Yeah, got second in 2A last year. So they've dropped down to Class 1A this year and were the top-ranked team and lost. So
say Calhoun's been taking a little bit of heat, too, from their super sectional win because they were up 50-2 at halftime.
46-0.
Yeah.
And I think what got people to believe, I could be wrong, but they were pressing with their starting five in the third quarter.
I believe that's what I heard as well.
Yeah, that's problematic.
I was not there, but you can't doubt how good of a team they are. I mean, they had three legitimate candidates for All-State, ended up with Grace Ballman making All-State. I think Emma Ballman was probably the third leading vote getter in the honorable mentions. So, I mean, a very good group.
And speaking of All-States, Ashley Snyder from Nokomis, AP All-State first team. Abby Brockmeyer played for Litchfield, AP All-State second team.
Yeah, and Madison Greeling also.
And Maddie Greeling, yes.
From Southwestern also, second team All-State in 2A. So
strong basketball.
Give me those three. Give me those three.
Absolutely.
Give me those three. I'll go and find two other players, and we'll go play anybody.
And Ashley Snyder has wrapped up quite the career at Nokomis. Just a couple names in front of her, and they're kind of recognizable.
Venusia Waterman and Molly McDowell, as far as scoring is concerned.
Yeah. Ashley, you know, I mean, she played in all 109 games Nokomis has played in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Was she All-State all 4 years?
I don't know that she was All-State all 4 years. She was
at least two.
She was first team the last 2 years, and I believe she was an honorable mention her sophomore year. I'm going that off memory, but you know, and just a good kid, smart kid too. I know her family's awful proud of her, and she's going to make a difference at the next level too.
On the podcast of the Nokomis broadcast, well, I had a chance to talk to her at halftime, and that's part of the podcast. So if you're looking for a quick chat with Ashley Snyder, you'll find it on the podcast.
WSMIRadio.com. We did a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment. We will have Fighting Illini basketball tonight, 5 o'clock, hosting Northwestern.
And a week from today, Cardinals baseball on AM 1540, 1145, the first spring training broadcast of the season. Wow.
That's good. With all the snow on the ground right now, that's warming, a warming thought.
By the way, here are a few scores from last night in Class 2A. Greenville beat Hillsboro at the Vandalia Regional, 52-41. Roxana got by Southwestern in overtime, 56-53. In 1A, Nokomis beat Altamont in overtime, 57-55. And Morrisonville won their first regional tournament since 1979. The Mohawks are going to the sectional. They beat Franklin 68-56, their 19th win of the year. Congratulations to the Mohawks.
Been an emotional week or so for the folks in Morrisonville.
Yeah, because we lost our buddy Denny Doherty, the stat man. And Denny, you know, gosh, he's helped us out with baseball tournaments. And he's been just anywhere and everywhere. And if there was ever a stat you needed, Denny would dig it up. And he was a great guy. And they're going to have a visitation today for him at the gymnasium. This is going to be a huge crowd. So, Morrisonville, and not just Morrisonville, but the whole area lost a good friend and a true sports fan, Denny Doherty. So,
But it's guys like that, like that, that, you know, kind of keep high school sports moving forward.
Well, the fans and the parents basically see the kids play. They don't think about officials. They don't think about people who run the scoreboard. They don't think about people who sell concessions. You know, they don't think about people who keep stats. You know, and all this is volunteer work most of the time. I mean, officials get a few bucks, but it's, you know, you're not going to get rich officiating. So it takes a community to keep the program going. And most people don't even have a concept of what goes on a night of a ball game. You know, somebody's got to sweep the floor. You know, it's got to unlock the doors, turn the lights on, that sort of thing. So,
well, and guys like Denny are just invaluable to guys in our position in the media. I mean, I never had to worry about having stats from a Morrisonville tournament game. Mm-hmm. I knew that they would be in my email or back whenever it was faxes. You know, I knew we would have them as soon as I came in. So just a really good guy. I always talked to him at the Morrisonville tournament and after and during the baseball season. And he'll be missed.
Yeah. Denny was a good guy. Helped out in many, many ways. He had this wealth of knowledge that you could count on. He wouldn't even have to go to a researcher. He had it, you know, in his head.
Well, that was my first thought. You know, whenever Morrisonville made it to the regional championship, I was like, I wonder when the last time. And I went through IHSA and I searched through everything, and I was like, you know, Denny Doherty would have known when the last time they played in a regional champion. He could have probably said it off the top of his head.
Probably had final score of the game.
More than likely.
And who the starters were, I would suspect.
You know, that's why sports, that's why people love sports. Yeah. You know, you see Morrisonville now on this nice run. They'll play in the sectional coming up this week. It doesn't really get any better than that.
No. And that's you know, that's why they created the multi-class system back in the early 70s to give the smaller schools an opportunity to win a regional. It's not, and we've talked about this many times, it's not easy to win a regional tournament. Nope. It just isn't. I don't care how good you are, how high of a seed you are, it's not easy to win the darn thing. And when you do, it's really, truly special. Even though it may be the first round of the playoffs, the lowest level of playoffs, winning a regional still means something. So congratulations to Morrisonville and to Nokomis. Mm-hmm. So. Two teams that are frequent, all the participants in the Morrisonville tournament. So for Nokomis, it's kind of like a home away from home.
Yeah, the Nokomis Invitational?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's turned out to be.
By the way, people from Morrisonville really hate it whenever you call it that. Like,
gets out of their skin, doesn't it?
One of my predecessors called it that in our paper. And then, like, 2 years later, I just got read the Riot Act. And I was like, I wasn't even here at the time.
Yeah, you know what, though? Sometimes the truth hurts. It just does. Yeah, it just does. Stop it from winning the thing.
That's true. Actually, you know, Morrisonville's been really good to us the last few weeks, too. Janet Walsh over at the high school has really got the kids on board with helping fundraise for my daughter. So As growing up a Lincolnwood player, it sometimes or not a player but a student, sometimes it would be hard to see myself rooting for Morrisonville, but I'm definitely am now.
If I'm not mistaken, that district, not, you mentioned Denny, but they lost their superintendent too. Their superintendent passed away earlier this year as well.
Yeah,
they've been through a lot.
It's been a rough year for the Mohawks.
So. Good luck to them on Tuesday night. They have Oakville at Oakville or Wednesday night. So. That'll be a toughie.
At Oakville.
Ooh. Yeah. Rockets are pretty good.
Oakville, one of the teams that beat Greenville this year.
Mm-hmm.
They beat 3A Columbia this year, too.
So, okay. Kyle, you had a chance to take in the wrestling.
Yeah, I was at the Illinois State Wrestling Finals last Thursday and then last Saturday also. Litchfield's Coy Davidson. sorry about that. Colin Davidson. Was in the championship match at 106 pounds for Class A. A really good showing for him. Ended up finishing second. Cole Werner, a senior with Litchfield, also placed fourth to end his career, which is
pretty Max impressive. Fritz from Mont Olive, I think, finished fourth.
Sixth. The impressive thing about that
he's a freshman, right?
I believe he's a freshman, but the real impressive thing is that he did not advance. He would finish fourth at his sectional. So he made the trip up to state, and the guy that finished third did not show up. I think he blew weight. He was over on weight, so they gave him a chance. Fritz was the alternate. And he came in and won his first match and went on to finish sixth. Wow. So really an impressive, you know, impressive accomplishment for him. And blowing weight occasionally happens, which I find it hard to believe, but Colin Davidson was scheduled to wrestle one person, and the next three alternates were gone. So he ended up wrestling someone from his own sectional.
Well, I would think, you know, once your season's over, you'd probably let yourself go after, you know, yeah. splurge a little bit.
Do officials do that, Louis? Have you just let go?
Let the buckle out a few notches?
But that would be
terrible. Get to state and then miss weight. Oh.
It's one of those, it's got to break coaches' hearts. But, you know, like I said, for Mount Olive and Coach Ryan, it really worked out well for them.
That, of course, a great wrestling program, Mount Olive.
Yeah, that's he's very proud of it, and I know he's going to be around for a couple more years, or he's hoping to be.
Isn't Fritz a Gillespie student?
He may be.
They definitely co-op with there, and sometimes
it's hard for me to tell which ones are which.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's going to be. That's been a productive thing for them. They've gotten some better numbers than they would have. Yeah, right. So it's been nice.
Go ahead.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. One more break. We'll come back with more following these messages. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, the Greenville Comets won their second regional in a row last night, defeating the Hillsboro Hilltoppers 52-41. The Comets now 29-3. So they rolled through the South Central undefeated in the regular year, rolled through an all South Central regional, crowned regional champs. And we were talking off the air just a moment ago, but looking back at it, them losing in the first round of the football playoffs this year had to have made a difference on what we've seen from Greenville from the start of the year, 29-3.
I think that probably plays into it. Number one, they had some downtime, which they haven't had in years mm-hmm. past. And of course, Todd Cantrell would never complain because he's the offensive coordinator
for the football team.
So Todd's got the best of both worlds, you know, whether he's the offensive coordinator or the basketball coach. But certainly having a couple of weeks off, you know, heal up some dings, some injuries, just catching your breath and, you know, resetting your mind and getting in the proper mindset. So, that's probably helped Greenville.
I would certainly think so. And you look at that group of seniors and across the board, the success they've had, mm-hmm. I mean, on the football field, obviously, the baseball program has been, you know, kind of in a level of its own for a number of years now. And now you see this basketball program back-to-back years playing in the sectional. That group is going to go down as one of the greatest groups at Greenville. Todd Cantrell told me last night, talking about the ball game, that's the group that's going to be kind of the measuring stick for a long, long time. To do it across the number of sports for all 4 years, so impressive.
Well, they didn't have a game, a South Central Conference game, within single digits this year. I mean, closest game was 13.
Was it Southwestern?
Yep, 13 points against Southwestern. So, I mean, for Hillsboro to keep it, you know, I mean, vaguely close, that's closest, you know, any SEC teams had this year, it seems like.
Yeah, Hillsboro had a 5-point lead in the third quarter.
Well, and they're going to get a test at Wood River for that sectional because, you know, they're going to play Modern Day, and if they win, they're going to either play Pinckneyville or Roxana. So that's going to be a very tough sectional for them.
And joining us on the phone right now is Todd Cantrell, the head coach of the Greenville Comets. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time. How does breakfast taste on the morning after back-to-back regional championships?
Well, I'll tell you when I get it. I'll tell you that. We just got to the gym, and we got guys coming in to shoot this morning, and it's certainly an exciting time, and I think I brought a breakfast bar with me somewhere in my coat, but I haven't quite got to it yet, but it's going to taste good in just a few minutes. How about that?
And Todd, this is the time of year that players actually get excited for practice because if there's no more practice, there's no more games at this point.
Yeah, you know, we got guys in here, you know, we're going to start about 10, and I pulled up about 9:25, and I wasn't here 2 minutes, and three cars pulled up. So you're right, I mean, it's exciting time, and the kids are excited, and it's just, we just hope to keep the thing going as long as we can, that's for sure.
The Comets, without the deep run in the football, and I know we probably mentioned this before, but certainly getting a couple of weeks off before the basketball season started might have helped things out.
Well, in the long run, it probably did. I mean, your stab it at my heart there, you know.
I know, man.
But, you know, it's, we take a lot of pride in what we've been able to accomplish with football, and you know, certainly we would have wished we could have gone farther this year, no doubt about it. But in the long run, maybe it probably did help the basketball season. We started basketball actually on time this year and had full practices and everybody was healthy, and the kids even had a week off between, you know, football and basketball where they could go home and be a kid after school for a little bit. And I think just that, you know, week away probably cleared my head and cleared their heads. And when we started practice, it was just a different atmosphere and a different environment than what we've normally done when we started practice. The last few years, we started with that Carlisle tournament at Thanksgiving with about three practices under our belt. And usually that's with one or two kids sitting out because we're still battling some injuries. So it was different, and then it helped us really get off to a great start, no doubt.
Well, I think the last time we talked to you was the morning before you played Taylorville for the championship at Litchfield, and obviously able to beat them. You've went down to Nashville to beat a very good Nashville team on their home floor, so you've played the competition, the great competition.
Well, we've played some very good teams, and certainly Taylorville was an extremely well-coached and really, really good team. They had a lot of size, they had shooting, they had a lot of things, and made us play with the zone that they were able to play and trapping a style that I think got us better, no doubt. And we went to Nashville. They did get us by 5 points. We lost to them down there on their floor, but it was a great atmosphere. We were right there. I mean, it was down to the end and had to foul at the end and things like that, and so it ends up a 5 or 6 point game. But we were right there, played them really well, and certainly we think that playing the teams that we've played and playing the schedule we play, we hope has prepared us to go into this sectional and do well.
And Todd, you told me last night you think you guys are at your best when you're balanced, and you were certainly that last night against Hillsborough. And watching you guys play, I'm just always impressed with David Holden. He just seems to do everything well.
Well, I tell you what, the key to us has been our balance, no doubt. And we've got four guys that average right between 10 and 12 points a game. And that's really been the key for us, is a different guy each night. And David has been one of those guys. And David's improvement from last year to this year has probably been the biggest key for us, honestly. We knew that he had a chance to be pretty good, but he put in a ton of work over the summer, and he put in the work that's necessary to get yourself better, and just really proud of him. And we hope that he gets even better this next coming summer, and we'll take him back again next year as a senior.
Yeah, he's not in that vaunted senior class. You get him back for one more year. A young man who is in that senior class, of course, Tyler Hutchinson. And last night when Hutch picked up that second foul, that's kind of when Dylan Miller started to assert himself.
Yeah, I did. You know, Tyler just does a good job of. You know, he takes that personal. I mean, he wants to play well on the defensive end against a guy that's that big and as good as Dylan is. And I thought Tyler played overall one of the best games that I've seen him play last night. He was getting deflections and steals, just guarding the way he was able to guard Miller, the way he was able to get some rebounds. And then he knocked down two threes at the offensive end. So I thought he had an outstanding night. And we did. You know, we were able to get the lead there early, and we thought as long as we had the lead, we'd like to save Tyler as much as we can and you know, take the three fouls that he had left into the second half. So we were able to do that. Hillsborough just did a great job of fighting back in that second quarter, and you know, we were able to tie it up at halftime. But we still felt like, you know, we've got Tyler with three fouls that he can give in that second half, and we felt like we were in a good shape.
You guys were in the sectional final a year ago. You'll be in the sectional semifinal on Tuesday. You don't scare from big games. What do you know about modern day at this point?
Honestly, nothing. I have not seen them play in about 5 years. I really don't know their personnel. I've you know, just heard from other coaches some things throughout the course of the year. I think they're similar to us in that they get some, you know, they get points from two or three different guys and sometimes four or five different guys. You know, that's what we started last night, the process of rounding up film, and that's what we'll do today and round up some film and see what we find out. This morning we're just going to kind of prepare ourselves and get better at shooting and things like that. And then over the next couple of days we'll see if we can get, prepare ourselves to go play modern day. It's going to be a great atmosphere, going to be a tough game, but, I just think these seniors are ready to knock down that sectional wall and see what we can do you know, beyond this week.
Hey, the season you guys have had at 29-3, it doesn't matter what the opponent does. You guys are just going to do what you guys have done to get you to this point.
Well, we hope so, and that's you know, that's been, you know, one of our slogans this year is be us, and as long as we're us, we don't care who we're playing or what the style is of the opponent. You know, we just need to take care of us, and if we do that, we feel like we got a chance.
Todd, this is Kyle Herschelman from the Journal News, and I was just wondering if it's been a detriment that Ann McLaughlin's been following your team throughout the season.
She's been weighing us down for years. I tell you what, we tried to get her as an assistant coach at one time. I think we even got her some shoes. We got her a shirt. I mean, we've just given her so much, and yet, you know, she just keeps dragging us down. But she was there last night, rooting us on again, and I got to see her last night. She keeps coming over here to sub. You know, she's retired, but she keeps coming over here to sub every week, it seems like. And, it's great to have her around.
Well, I appreciate her having her around because she bothers me less whenever she's subbing. So.
Yeah, so you send her to Greenville to bother me. I see how you are.
Todd Cantrell, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on the regional championship, and best of luck in the sectional, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Okay. Todd Cantrell, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, a good guy.
Before we run out of time, I got a couple more things I want to ask Louie here. Louie, I know you've had opportunity to do a lot of big games, and, of course, Louie was inducted into the Illinois Coaches Association Softball Hall of Fame as an umpire last weekend. Talk about being able to umpire the IHSA state tournaments and what that means to an umpire and what the atmosphere is like.
Well, you know, you're basically umpire trying to get to that next pedestal. Mm-hmm. And when I reached the state tournament in 2011 for Class 1A, 2A, you know, I thought I'd reached the highest I could go until Greg Easter called me back in June or July. In fact, I was driving home from the country club after talking to you guys on the radio back mm-hmm. in June. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether that has anything to do with it, but he called me up and said that I was going to be inducted into the Softball Hall of Fame. And, you know, as I said, I was in complete awe. But, you know, that's why you work so hard on the field and on the court, trying to get to that next level. You know, the coaches and players, you know, they work hard on the court and on the sidelines trying to get to that next level. And us as umpires and officials, we do the same thing. You know, I try to stay in the best shape. And, you know, the problem is these kids on the high school basketball court, they stay 16, 17, and 18, and I keep getting 56, 57, 58.
I thought you were 39.
I was 39 one time.
Oh. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you enjoy it. And, you know, and after I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, my daughters, of course, have this Facebook, and it was just amazing at how many people congratulated me mm-hmm. on that. You know, I got 60, 70 responses, and some people I hadn't heard of from years, and some of the former players I umpired their games, you know, they had nice comments, and some of the former coaches that I hadn't talked to in 7, 8, 9 years.
You hadn't talked to her, or they wouldn't talk
well,
to you?
Well, I hadn't talked
oh,
to her.
Oh, okay.
Depends who you ask.
You know, they, in fact, you know, Sam Stewart, from Gillespie, who has been retired for over 9 years, he sent me a real nice card, card in the mail. And, you know, that's what you're in it for.
Sure.
You know, Sam and I had some problems on the baseball field a couple of times, but, you know, hey, you know, who, you know, it's that's what he gets paid for.
Sammy was passionate, wasn't he?
He was, he was.
If nothing else, he was passionate about that.
And, you know, in all honesty, I do appreciate, you know, the thank you. I'm thanking everyone for the congratulations and the emails and the cards and the Facebook stuff. And, you know, I count it as a privilege, and I'm still the same Louie Lang, you know, as I was.
But at the state tournament, once you get to the state tournament and you go to the Eastside Center in East Peoria, it's a little bit different atmosphere. And instead of just showing up and, you know, shaking hands with the coaches and starting the game, you have to go through a little rigmarole.
You do. You go up on a Thursday night and you have a banquet with the teams, the eight teams that are up there. I mean, you have a nice banquet with them. And then the umpires have a meeting afterwards, and we met probably two and a half hours after the banquet. You have to be on the field ready to go like 2 hours in advance before the game. And, you know, the good thing is your family can go with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's always nice for the support that they give you throughout the year. That's just a little thank you on the back for them to be able to go with you.
You know, you earn your way to get to the state tournament, but even once you're there, there's always more instruction.
You talked
about 2.5 hours of meeting with the umpires. You know, they're going over situations and how you would cover this versus this and that sort of thing.
And, you know, you go over especially your three-man coverage. And, you know, we went over that. And in the third in the first game that I had, it went 11 innings, and the second game I had went 9 innings. So, you know, that's what you're out there for. Yeah. And, you know, the three-man did come into play. I mean, we worked it to a perfection, and, you know, that's what you go over that stuff for that prior to the games.
But most of the time, it's just a two-man crew for high school, right?
Exactly. Really? Yeah. You start three-man in the sectionals.
All right. So a little bit different look once you get to the higher ups.
Yes, yep. There is. And that third man on the basketball court makes a big difference, too.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely makes a big difference.
But sorry, I was just going to say you helped out umpiring the county alumni baseball game last year. You going to do that again this year?
Well, if I'm asked to, I will. You know, I try to do
You're going to get asked, I'm sure.
Yeah. sure.
I imagine I will. You know, I try to donate my time back, you know, because, I mean, especially for cancer or, you know, good causes. When Kyle has some kind of a benefit for his daughter, if it's a basketball game or a football game or whatever, I'm right there for you. You know, you can call and I can get a crew or whatever for you. But, you know, anybody out there that needs a crew for any type of benefit, I'm more than able and willing to help them out.
Well, Louie, I joked about 9 o'clock and you weren't here yet. I said, where's Louie? Did he see a pickup game on the way in and stop because they needed an official? I mean, but that's the type of guy that you are, though. Like, if someone is in need, I mean, you are the guy to call.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I am known in the area, hopefully in a good way. And
famous, not infamous.
No, that's right. But in all honesty, you know, I do thank you guys for allowing me to come out and let people know that I have been inducted into the Hall of Fame. And my family and I wish Tobin and his family the best of luck as he makes his move to Florida. May God's blessings be with you, and we wish you the best of luck.
Now you're going to make me cry.
And the best of luck to Florida, too.
Yeah. Does Florida know you're coming?
Have you warned them, Tobin? Do they know?
There's been a broadcast.
All right. Give them a heads up.
Louie, thank you. Kyle, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
We'll have the Fighting Illini coming up 5 o'clock tonight, hosting Northwestern here on FM 106.
Once again, it's interviews with the podcast on our website, WSMIRadio.com. Those interviews with the kids and the coaches, part of our regional coverage, available on the podcast.
That's it. For Tobin, Terry, David, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Have a great weekend, everybody.